Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Voicemails, voicemails, voicemails. I killed a frog. Voicemails, voicemails, voicemails. You and us on a Wednesday. What's good, y'all? How you guys doing? We're recording this on Wednesday. You guys are listening to it on Thursday.
I think so.
Hopefully the Yankees have swept by now. And that's great. It is I, Joe's McFly, joined by BBD. Who is he? We got Grapp in the Grappler's Corner over there to our left. And your voicemails. Hopefully, guys, if you guys would like to, please leave us a voicemail, 908-845-5792. BBD, how are you?
Joseph, I'm doing well. The Yankees are doing well. The biggest news in Yankee land, I think, is being covered by what was already going to be the first voicemail. So,
yeah.
I don't know. No need to really dilly-dally. Team's playing well. Let's get into it.
10-2! Let's go with the voicemails.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Wesley. Just have one question. How long do you guys think it's going to take for Anthony Volpe to be moved up to the leadoff hitter? I think he's proved a lot over the first two games. I know it's definitely early, but I'm hoping he's going to be at the All-Star break being the Yankees leadoff hitter. Just curious what you guys thought. Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you for the voicemail, and the answer to your question is today. Yeah,
okay. I guess today. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Today, as in the day that we're... Well, you guys don't understand.
Yeah. The Yankees just announced that they just put Volpe in the leadoff spot. It just happened. It wasn't forced by, like, an injury or anything, which is would have been the only exception to anything I would have said, I think. But, yeah, they moved him up. Glaber slides down to the... six spot.
As our friend Wesley, right? So, friend Wesley said, "This is it's an interesting thing. I think it is too early for him to be doing this for sure. Because I would like him to just settle in where he needs to settle in, and that's it, man. Like, just let the kid play and not have to worry about other things. And then, you know what? A couple of months down the line, after he's done it consistently, after he's gone through a cold stretch, Biebs.
Yeah.
Like, let then him you know what? He's handled that and come out the other end. Then you know what? You want to move him up to lead off? Go ahead. But right now, today, after you just won, you went 10-12, you go for a sweep today at the Marlins. I don't know if it's the day, but...
Yeah, it's... Like I was saying, it'd be one thing if, like, Glaber was banged up or, you know, they've won this series, let's get him or somebody else a day off or... And, like, sure, like somebody's out, so the lineup gets shuffled a little bit. But, no, they have kind of... They have, like, the nine guys I would have expected in this lineup.
Yeah.
And they just... did a Glaber and Volpe clean swap. Same handedness there. I would not have done this yet. I had been saying early in the season and before the season, like even if he has a good year, I wouldn't do this all year unless your hand's like really forced by injuries. I think similarly to our caller when he called this, I was starting to question myself like, I mean, if he keeps this up, at some point, I'm going to change my mind on
right.
that. But that's, again, like, All-Star break, like we said. It's been 12 games for the team, 11 games for Volpe. Like, this didn't need to happen yet.
Yeah, you don't need to do this. You know? The Yankees just like to overthink sometimes. And they feel like they want to get a leg up every time. And things aren't always numbers based, you know. Sometimes you just need to give them some time. There's a reason that they're performing well now. I'm not saying that this is going to, he's going to end up struggling because of this. He might keep the same approach, and you know what? He might stick there, and that'll be our leadoff hitter, and I hope it happens. But I just don't want the other thing to happen, which something to affect his confidence in any way this early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, hitting in front of Juan Soto ain't going to hurt him.
It's not.
I know Gleyber's numbers on the year are bad. I said this to you right before.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers Gleyber's put up this season are literally not good, but he... coming into the Marlins series, had reached base every game. He's drawing a ton of pitches, and Volpe's doing the same thing and getting results. So this has nothing to do with like insulting what Volpe's done so far.
Correct.
Like he's doing everything right. And I'm happy for him. Like he does quote unquote deserve this, but the lineup's working. Why are we fiddling around with it? I get it. You've already won a series against the Marlins. I think what they're saying is if there's a time you were going to do this, this is the type of game to mess around with that. But I'm surprised they're not
13.
Saying that's going to – they're not, like, using today to get Gleyber off his feet or a DH day that has Judge sitting or something and that caused a shuffle. Like I could have seen it if it was a Judge or Stanton's going to sit today. Yeah. And that means, like, maybe you want Gleyber third, and therefore, like, Volpe should go one.
Right, right.
Which you know, I've been saying, but...
It
feels like you're just doing something to do it.
You're just bored of making the same lineup that was working every day and say, you know what, let's just try something different, because why not? Sometimes a chef, okay, a Michelin chef, just changes his recipe on the fly, because why? Why would he keep it consistent, right? Thank you for the voicemail, Wesley. I appreciate that. That was very timely of you, my friend. It's almost like you knew.
You were thinking about it when the Yankees were thinking about it.
All right. Who we got next?
All right. So our next caller, Jenna.
Jenna?
Is excited to see how things can get even better.
Woo! I'm with that. Love that.
Hey, guys. Jenna here calling in from Stamford, Connecticut. Shout out UConn Huskies.
Woo. Nice.
Shout out Huskies.
Obviously, Yanks are off to a great start, and we have a lot of guys firing on all cylinders. Who do you guys think can spark this team even more that hasn't necessarily gotten off to a hot start? Love to hear your thoughts on this one. Go, Yanks.
Great job. Great question, Jenna. That is a great question because it gives room for improvement of everybody else. Who do you think, Beebs?
And we've been saying him a lot just now, so it feels a little like I feel like I'm repeating myself, but Gleyber, the numbers haven't been there.
They haven't been fair.
But he was one of two real hitters they had all season last year. So yes. Like if Gleyber can start really getting going and putting up numbers in whatever spot in the order, I would have kept him leadoff for now, but he would change things and add a new dynamic if he could really get going. I mean, even Judge on the homestand, the numbers are really good. So he's kind of doing it again, just getting walked a ton. So I'll leave him out. I a week ago I'd have said Judge hasn't gotten going yet, so he's the obvious answer. But I think it's Gleyber.
I think it's sure Gleyber. Gleyber's a good answer for me. I think this team shifts into a different gear when Giancarlo in that middle of the order spot is like a tank and he's like hitting shit. And we've seen some homers and he's getting base hits right now. But when Giancarlo is going, when Giancarlo's hitting bombs and he's hitting them, he's becoming a factor and pitchers are scared of him. He's going to have people on base. He's not going up there like, I don't want to, no disrespect to Angel fans. He's not going up there like Trout and there's nobody on base. You're going to have Soto on probably. You're going to have Judge on most probably. And you're going to have, some of the other people, Rizzo could be able to get on. They could be second and third. Nobody out or one out or two. I don't know. Whatever. However that works out. But Giancarlo is in a prime position to feast. And I still have him pegged as my comeback player of the year. So
yeah.
I think he's the guy that could take this team to another offensive gear. Pitching-wise, though.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about pitching.
Me either, right? Pitching-wise, in the, starter side, I would go with, I think if Carlos Rodon could be able to do that and become that stabilizing force for the Yankees until Cole comes back. That'll be great. Take the team into another gear, be able to rest the pen on his days. In the pen, if you have somebody emerge, like, you need somebody for those middle innings.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a Dennis Santana or a Hamilton, I hate to say another gear for, yeah, for Santana.
Hamilton's been good this whole way. Dennis Santana, right. Two games I've seen, I've liked. Like,
but if another arm can be able to come up, then that's another thing that can give you another gear.
Nick Birdie's kind of been in the trust tree early. If that lasts a good portion of this season, that would change some things.
The circle of trust. There used to be a Joe Girardi circle of trust. And if you remember, like, way back when, where he would have, like, these are the guys that if I want to get a game, I'm going to go to. So just kind of creating that early in the season.
Right now, the bullpen identity is just weird.
Yeah, it is, right?
And part of that is just, like, we don't know the guys that well. The guys we did know are hurt or haven't necessarily had these roles before. Like Clay is the only one that, like, we really in our hearts know. Of the current like group, because Ian Hamilton was awesome last year, and we saw him all last year.
But relievers,
he was up and down. Relievers are fickle. Even last year, it wasn't that much high leverage experience. On the whole, like down the stretch, he was kind of like their long guy. So, the Ham Dog being like purely in like this setup and sometimes closing role. Mm-hmm. Leading the bullpen in innings, it looks like, 8.1. He's in a new spot. Caleb Ferguson is straight up new. Nick Birdie is new to the org.
Gonzalez
is new to the org. Luke Weaver, we got a taste of last season in a starter role, and he's been the long man and done a fine job so far. Dennis Santana's brand new. Cousins Majewski. Clayton Beter got one game, but he's a prospect. Like, these guys, like we straight up don't know them. Loizaga is out. He was the one we knew.
He was in that trust circle.
Yeah. He's left the team. He was one we knew. It's weird. The bullpen is just, it's hard to feel any sort of way about them besides Clay Holmes. I feel like people are doing extra feelings for Clay Holmes just because they at least know him a little bit.
Yeah.
We're like, and statistically, he's been lights out. I know the vibe's been not quite there. A lot of people are really down on what they've seen. I think they're overreacting and all that. Like, Clay's Clay.
He's Clay. It's just, I agree with Jimmy, just having a closer that's a sinker baller doesn't always, like...
The principles of Clay.
I'm not saying he doesn't have a spot. I'm just saying to close your games, you want a guy that's going to be able to get strikeouts and induce soft contact as well, not just a ground ball pitcher that you can have balls eat through. And the Yankee defense has not been too good. So, like, all of those things that we named... can be game changers. Yankees, you know, take him to another gear. Giancarlo, you have, you know, Rodon. And even if they better their defense by a lot, like stop making errors on silly plays, then you're looking at, they've been throwing the ball away a lot.
There's been just like plays that got away from them. They haven't been burned by it. They've only lost two games, but they happen.
Let's not do it. It causes the pitchers to throw more, even if it doesn't cost you in the win column so far.
Yeah.
It will in the future, and it will in your pen, and it will in your starting staff. So don't, you know, let's just feel cleanly.
And the only other, like, half point in this conversation I'd say is just if Wells can start fully getting it going, I think he's hit into some bad luck stuff. He's had a bunch of, like, would-be doubles land just foul. He's put a charge into some that seemed like they'd get out in June and not in April. So he's just, I think he's had some bad luck, some just like rookie stuff, but the numbers are bad on him. Expected stats are a weird kind of fickle thing, but I believe the other day when I looked, he had his slugging on the season right now is 130. I think it was 150 when I looked the other day, and his expected slugging was in the mid to high 700s. Like it was a wild difference. Like he's just missing.
It's the at-bats feel fine. Low.
Yeah. The at-bats feel fine. Yeah. If he can really get going, that would change a lot.
It's been 12 games so far. Mm-hmm. 13 for him. Time you guys watching this. 8 for him, yes. All right. Thank you for the voicemail, Tanner. Appreciate you. Who else we got?
Yeah, so going off that, some of the spark for the rest of the season might not even be on the team just yet, and that's what Matt was curious to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
Sure. What's up, boys? It's Matt Nadel here. Obviously, the Yanks are off to an awesome start this year,
yes.
But injuries happen and the season progresses as it progresses. So I'm curious which minor leaguers you're excited about in terms of seeing them make their major league debuts or just come up and help out the Yanks a little bit. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you went to minor leaguers and not, hey, who do you want to acquire via trade? Because it's way too early to talk about trades. Well, I mean, I think that the most, for me, the biggest and the most obvious minor leaguer, if you want to still call him that, he's hurt right now, but I think Jason Dominguez can be a big difference maker for the Yanks. Not that their offense needs help. It just brings a different dynamic to their offense that they currently don't really have. It's another switch hitter, a guy that has a lot of speed. He's very young, and that's another guy that can also learn from Soto. So I think I would be looking forward to seeing Jason Dominguez. It feels like a cop-out answer.
He feels too obvious. Like, I'm trying to find a more fringy answer to be unique, but he is, like, still on the prospect list. I just got sucked in a little bit by his listed height being 5'9". That's awesome.
I hope he's still growing.
He might be. He might be. 5'9", it's so awesome.
Oof.
Like, the other one that I think will factor in, it's just, like, is worth shouting out. We saw a good amount of him in spring training. I think he was the runner-up for the fifth starter spot.
Oh, yes.
Eventually,
yes.
Something will pop up. We will see Will Warren at some point this season.
Will Warren,
and he is, like, a real prospect. Like people... The name value isn't, you know,
people
it's hard to remember him.
People want him.
He had a couple, like, weird days at the office in spring training, but Will Warren, like, is a real prospect. He's got some fascinating stuff. I liked what I saw from him in spring. I was Luis Gil deserved it, and he's been good so far.
Yes, he has.
I was surprised just based on, like, the roster game that it wasn't Will Warren instead, but that was... neglecting that Gerrit Cole can go 60-day, and that would open up the room to call Luis Gil up because you didn't place Cole on the IL. That negates the optioning of Gil they did earlier. Roster minutia, silly. So I was overthinking that rule because which led me to believe Will Warren would get that fifth starter spot. He didn't, but we'll see him at some point. I think he is next on the depth chart, assuming he's lined up whenever they do need that.
What about a Chase Hampton?
Well, I'm pretty sure he's hurt right now. But he's just a little further away.
I mean, he said this year, right?
There's
said
a
at this point this year.
If assuming the injury, which I think I saw might have been a UCL.
I
should double check that before
UCL injuries, bro.
I should double check that before speaking out of turn, but
that sucks if it is.
Sidelined by UCL sprain,
We're not going to see it.
It's March 28th that came out. Gary Phillips, Daily News. Thank you.
That's not gonna
And a sprain, by definition, is a tear. So we'll see. Even if he was fully healthy this year, it seemed like they probably wouldn't bother adding him to the 40-man until next year if they can avoid it. But if he deserved it, he's very exciting, too. Hopefully... Little rehabs all
I'm hoping that some arms do develop down there bullpen wise because I think that's where we'll see people mostly.
Yeah,
you know,
Beater
shifting in and out. Yes, Beater. I think he'll come back.
Down.
I mean, he had the most effective outing that you could possibly have.
They want to keep him in like stretched out, which is a big
as
part of
should.
Why they sent him down.
So Beater could be another one that we'll see.
He'll be part of this season. Already has been 3-pitch inning.
Already has been.
So I like Beater, like him. Yogo, we got a taste of last year. He might be fun out of a bullpen. But outside of Dominguez, it's kind of a you're digging as far as which rookies you can be like excited about their contribution for this
year. Position player-wise, I think it's him. I mean, I don't know if we'll see Pereira again this year. But
You could.
But
you're an injury away. if it's before Dominguez comes back from, all right, he'll be up, but
it's not on the most excited list. Like something went wrong.
Yeah, like he can become exciting. Anybody can become exciting, right. but Dominguez the obvious.
Yes, there. Yes, Dominguez and Will Warren on the pitching side.
Yeah. Will Warren, like the day he comes up, if you're listening here, if you didn't check out spring training, watch him. You'll like it. Like I think he does. He has good stuff. He's considered like a very smart pitcher.
Very good.
The art of pitching, I think he values.
He'd love Cole.
I read a nerd article about him.
A nerd article?
Yeah, like he did like a deep dive with somebody writing at Fangraphs. I'll try to find it and shout out the author. But he said the two-seamer he...
a nerd article.
The two-seamer he throws is really an offset one-seamer. And he's like, he went into like crazy detail about like the grip he uses on it and how he's really throwing that. And it was hilarious. He's awesome.
Well, that's good because I'm sure
there's just nerd pitching stuff. I would guess he and Cole can have some fun conversations.
Yes, I love that. Good stuff. Thanks for the voicemail. Hopefully that answered your question. Thanks.
I think he has a good
offset
job.
One seamer. Thanks, Matt. My neighbor.
Appreciate it.
So next up, Ryan wants to get some rankings out of you guys.
Oh, rankings. Okay.
Rankings.
Rank them.
What's up, guys? This is Ryan from Long Island, longtime listener, first time caller. My question would be that you can pretty much assume that the big four for the future, not currently locked up, would be Juan Soto, Anthony Volpe, Spencer Jones, and Jason Dominguez. Mm. If you're going to rank those four based off of how much production they're going to have in the Yankee uniform, how would you do that? As always, Jake sucks.
Mm.
I mean, okay. So his ranking of the players was Juan Soto.
Soto, Volpe, Spencer Jones, Dominguez.
So in terms of production that we think for the future...
Total production as a Yankee.
I do think that Juan Soto will be a Yankee forever.
Yes, I believe in him being a Yankee long term.
He's number one,
and even if he isn't, one season of guaranteed 25-year-old Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Even if he walks, you like just can't promise that from Dominguez, who we've seen 8 games of at the MLB level, Spencer Jones, who hasn't hit AAA yet. That's just how that works. So he has to be at least in your top two. I'm comfortable putting Soto number one.
I'll put Soto one, and this list isn't meant to be disrespectful to any player on this, right? Because they're all good, really good players.
These are the four most exciting young players in the organization.
Juan Soto's number one by a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Number two, I honestly think Jason Dominguez will be number two for the Yanks.
Mm-hmm.
Number three will be Anthony Volpe. Number four will be Spencer Jones. The only reason I have Spencer Jones as number four is that I believe that once they see everything is good with Dominguez, and if they have Soto locked up,
Judge is already locked up.
I think they might use that as a piece, which is smart, right?
It has to be on the table.
Right, unless you're going to convert him into a first baseman, which is big brain smart if you want to do that. But then I feel like you're losing athleticism with that kid who's apparently the fastest prospect in the entire system in Spencer Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's no disrespect to Spencer Jones, who I think is he likes us, and we're gonna try to get him to the office sometime this year. It was completely electrified by his spring, but just he's a full level. There's a full level between him and the big leagues right now. He hasn't played yet this season. You haven't made it to the big leagues yet. Nothing is guaranteed. It's just statistically.
And I'm not saying that's how the odds work. I'm just thinking about roster. Construction, roster depth-wise, and like...
Of these four, he's the likeliest to be traded.
Traded, yeah, traded.
Volpe, they're
They're not
committed. committed, and now he looks really good. They look super correct for having committed to him.
Correct.
And I love that. He's been amazing. I like watching him play. So it seems like he will be, he's guaranteed several years as a Yankee. Whether that adds up to even the 1 year of Soto. So far it has. He's out warring him right now.
Mm.
And Dominguez, you're hurt right now. That's kind of why I've got you number three.
Yeah.
You just got to come back and prove you're going to be back. And we've only seen 8 games of you at the big level. I believe in all
a
four
really good
of these
eight
guys,
games.
The best like 8 games I've ever seen.
Well, Gary Sanchez has a word.
Gary Sanchez does have a word. But yeah, I think that's just...
Yeah.
That's how the prospect game works.
That is how it works.
But chances are one of them doesn't work out or doesn't work out.
And that's a good... If you get one out of four...
Yeah.
That doesn't work out, you've actually done well. You know?
Yes.
I hope that they all do well. I hope we find the spot for all of them on the roster somehow, some way. And, you know, maybe Soto ends up doing a Bryce Harper and goes to first.
Yeah. Maybe he is the one that
does would
that.
Fix everything, you know? But I'm not, he's 25. I mean, yeah, I'm not.
We're not there yet. Doesn't seem like this year will be the year that there's a crunch. Just the Yankees outfield is stacked anyway. Yeah. Dominguez still has to come back this year. So let's see how Soto, how his free agency goes and get to next year. And we'll figure out what Spencer Jones' deal is.
You know what? I'm very curious to see your rankings in the comments. If you guys could put your top four, what you guys think.
How would you rank
it? You know, how would you rank it? Answer the question in the comments. So you guys
in a way, Volpe maybe should be number one just because he's kind of
he's the most secure and he's shown the most growth from when you. Yeah, so I'd see that. I'd be open to anyone. Well, yeah. Let's see. Let's see some of your answers. All right. Who we got? All right,
next caller. Offers a very strong opinion. Curious to get your guys' thoughts.
Why not?
Let's do it.
What up, Pop?
What's good?
What up, Biebs? It's Big T from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, coming at you.
Woo!
I just want to say that Stroman is my number one guy right now. That guy can hurl a ball.
Mm.
I know Rodon, Cortez, they look good, but Stroman's the truth.
That's it.
Okay.
I think he just got cut off. Did his battery die at the end? I think, but you know what? So what he said, I understand so far. The thing with Stroman has been his durability in the middle parts of the season and toward the end. If he can go wire to wire, I trust him. I do.
Anytime he's on the mound
and
we know he's currently healthy, I'm good. I'm fine with that. The last 2 years, he's had one injury each year that has kept him under 140 innings, but the innings he threw were quality.
Very effective.
He was, at the time he got hurt last year, which, again, wasn't crazy far into the year, but it was after the All-Star break. He, was the NL Cy Young front runner.
Yes.
He was having one of the more dynamic seasons in the sport.
It's nasty.
His style of pitching is very fun to watch. It's reliable.
It's quick.
He keeps it moving.
He's very quick. I think he's the type of guy that can also pitch in pinstripes, that he thrives off of that energy. Love that I seen him in the do-rag, though. I'm going to be very honest with you. I love that. The little silky. Love that. Keep that, please. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He gets a pitch and his bravado and the whole stuff on the mound that he does. And everything I feel like feeds into New York if he's pitching from here. And if he gets into a playoff series, I feel like that will elevate him.
Yeah.
So I agree with you with what you're saying currently out of this top five, those, you know, in the rotation, that's the guy that's my current number one because of a lot of those things.
Playoffs start tomorrow, he would get game one.
He would get game one.
And it wouldn't be much of a discussion. Although,
yeah.
Even though, you know, Rodon, it ain't looking bad.
He's not.
He's the first two starts, I know, like, Under the hood, he hadn't quelled any fears in his good start this week against the Marlins. I don't think.
How many runs did you give up?
You know, how much stock do you put into it? But it was an actual good start. There were changes, and he was able to come away with statistically good lines in his first two games. Like, Carlos Rodon is looking like he has a chance to put up some special ERA numbers.
I would love
this
that,
year.
Please.
If he can just if he can stay healthy and give the length he's given these first few times out, at least.
Oh yeah.
He's going to land in a good spot, but Stroman would start game 1 if playoffs started tomorrow, you don't have Gerrit Cole available to you. That's how that would go.
Yeah.
Curious when the time comes, because we think we will have Gerrit Cole.
Yes.
And if we have Gerrit Cole, I think he would start game 1. Like how will they figure that out? Do they want to break up the lefties? Do they whatever? Who are they facing? That all these things are part of the equation.
It may happen that way. I mean, the thing with Nestor with me is that him just finding his, I feel like he's starting to find it. You've seen him do that first shimmy of the year in his last start. He pitched the 8 shutout, which is great. He was quick in, you know, just everything that he's doing. If he can find that nice little balance for him pitching-wise where he's still changing speeds and changing his arm angles and changing his motions and still staying within the rules and everything, I think Nestor can be very effective too. But I mean, Stroman's the number one.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
He's very reliable.
Yes. Good.
All right. And we got more pitchers to review right here.
Okay.
What's going on, gentlemen? My name is Sean. I am currently active duty Marine over in Newburgh, New York, about 1 hour away from the city.
Thank you for your service.
When the Yankees play, man, I'm a big fan of Talking Yanks. I'm a big fan of Yankees baseball in general. And I just want your thoughts on Louis Gill, because I think that dude's been absolutely phenomenal. I think he has amazing stuff. Would love to see him step up more in the season. But, yeah, just thoughts on him. Thank you so much. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Gil is awesome. I think where his game will jump up the next level. And once again, he's coming back from injury, right, babe? Mm-hmm. So control was always an issue for him before. So, like, now, you know, the walks and all of those things are to be expected after a major surgery like that. But if he were to get, you know, hone that in and he's able to throw a lot more strikes and he's able to, like, walk less batters, less 3-ball counts and go deeper into games, I know that's like the perfect pitcher, right?
Yeah.
And if he could do all that, he'll be so young.
You've got that fastball.
Yeah, but he's got the stuff of like a middle to top of the rotation guy if he can put it all together.
Yes. His fastball is one of the best just straight up pitches in the organization. The talent has always been there. He's always been super nasty. I am excited to watch more of him. I've really enjoyed what I've seen so far. Obviously, the walks are an issue. That's all. What has always been the scouting report on him has been that he just walks too many guys, which is not an issue unique to Luis Gil, but it has been what has put a cap on like his prospect stock.
Potential.
And then the injury happens, and that's also going to play a role on your control. So there's but because this stuff is so electric, like I do in the back of my head think about, okay, you have this year to figure out, like, are you a starter before you're going to be entering your later 20s? And then if we decide, like, all right, maybe starting doesn't work, which I'm willing to give him all of this year, figure that out, maybe even next year.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is so nasty. He can be a lockdown reliever tomorrow, I think.
Yes.
That's the typical pipeline is starter who can't throw enough strikes goes and you just go become an eighth inning guy.
Which is weird.
That's what happened with Dellin Betances. That's what happened.
Yeah, it's weird because if you can't throw strikes and you walk people, being a reliever is probably not the best place for you.
Yeah,
but
that's
works.
How it kind of goes.
Yeah.
And if you can just let it eat for one time, that fastball plays up even more. Breaking out this changeup he's got this year, it looks disgusting. He's been really impressive. The stuff's crazy.
I know he's going to be limited by innings this year.
At some point, there's going to be a slowdown.
There's going to be a slowdown. So they might do like a piggyback situation between him and like, it could be him and Luke Weaver.
Yes.
Him and like a beater later on. They could do something like that.
Yeah, coming off the injury, they might cap him at 2 times through the order.
Yes.
Besides like a few times, they'll be like, all right, go let it eat.
Which could work if you have the right guy following him, and then that's
the
bullpen's
in a good spot on the other days.
If both guys are effective, then
a little bit of a tough draw that he doesn't get to be like between the most trusted guys. Like if he could be trailing a Stroman day,
yes,
and then whatever. But that's just how the rotation shook out.
And they might end up doing something like that for after an All-Star break when you can reshuffle your rotation.
We'll get some rain out that can get somebody an extra rest or a skip or off days are coming the next couple Thursdays. I think they're off. So there could be some sort of shuffle. I don't know if it would be for that, for getting the lefties to be not back to back, all of the above. I don't know.
Yankees got it planned out, I hope.
They'll
maybe possibly.
They'll figure it out.
Hopefully.
I like Luis Hill a lot.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I think this might be our finale here.
Okay.
We're going to ask you to step into the shoes of Brian Cashman.
And once again, guys, thank you guys so much for leaving us these voicemails before we listen to this last one. If you guys do want to join us on the app, this app is about you guys. This is about you guys joining us to talk Yankees with us. 908-845-5792. I was about to give you the wrong number. Oh, shit. My bad. Cut it out.
908-845-5792. Thank you. Like, subscribe, all that.
Who we got?
Hey, guys. Was just love the show, by the way. Was just wondering, you know, with Volpe having an absolute breakout start to the year, obviously the match made in heaven, right? You know, at one point do we maybe start to consider extending this guy long-term like Atlanta does with their young talent? Again, I could also see the other side of the coin, though, where it's still very early. He did have his struggles last year, although he also showed a lot of good last year. Just curious to see your guys' take on that.
It's a good point, Biebs. And I think that the Yankees should do this with certain blue-chip guys as well. I think it's just smart business, you know? We've seen the Red Sox just do it recently. They extended
Rafaela. And they're a team that in the past hasn't typically done too many of these. They waited pretty much to the last second for Devers.
Waiting to the last second ends up being more expensive. The Braves know what they're doing as well. Be a little brave like the Braves. And if you see that Volpe took this jump from year one to year two, then you know, and you believe, because from what I hear from different people in the organization and like people, other minor leaguers that I've spoken to, Volpe is like the Mr. Yankee to them. So if they truly believe that, and I think that you do that after the season, obviously, and this season's done, then I think that Cashman and Co. need to come together and say, you know what? We'll extend you long-term, give you that long-term security at this nice, cheap price, but you get the guaranteed income, and then it works for both sides. We buy out your arbitration. You don't have to worry about those nasty conversations, and we'll buy out a couple of your free agent years. And then that'll be like a happy medium. You do that, and then you do a Soto, and then you do whatever other business that you got to do in that offseason, and I think that that's what you got to do.
They certainly have to be open to it, and of course it depends what the player wants and what the numbers ultimately land. That's the reason you're trying to do this is to long-term you get a discount on it, and you get to quell the per-year number a bit.
The idea is you want to get the Jose Ramirez situation.
That'd be great. The Yankees, eventually. And I don't necessarily think they're wrong for this. What it seems like they think about with these things is they will go get a big star at this price or that price and make that happen. They can spend bigger in other areas because when they have guys like Volpe or Judge for several years there and Glaber early in his career, like they have those guys on the cheapest number possible. And I think the way that Brian Cashman and whoever else is responsible for these types of discussions with the Yankees, the way they think about it is that these years where you have them for as literally as cheap as possible, they value that so much. And I get it. I don't think it's inherently wrong. It'd be awesome to lock somebody up and have it work out. Like, it seems like it works out for every guy the Braves do it with.
Right.
I understand why they view it that way, and they do go out and get guys for the most part. Few exceptions. I think you wish they would have gone after this guy, that guy, but that can be just problems in evaluating talent or whatever. Because, yeah, if they did one of these and then all of a sudden they don't have him on the cheapest value possible for the 3 years he's making as little as he can.
Right.
And it didn't, like, work out. You didn't get incredible value on the back end. Nope. That can come back to bite you if you're the Yankees and you still want to go spend big. I would rather extend some of these guys and keep guys around and build an identity. And it's, like, fun to lock up your guys and know they'll be here and buy your kid a jersey and tell them they're going to be there. That's fun.
I think that the way that, because, look, Hal is always saying, you don't need, I'm a firm believer that you don't need more than $250 million to build a winner. You know, and you know what? That could be right. But the way that you have that is by securing this young talent long term, because you will have savings over the, instead of you having to go out and continuously keeping, you know, having to keep paying. You could have had Judge for cheaper.
Yeah.
Than what you did.
You'd be benefiting from that right now.
Right. You could have, now Judge has injury things, right? So that's smart on their part. Like, but like they lost.
Judge specifically, right? I do understand why he didn't get an extension earlier. He's a guy who debuted late. He's a guy who had injuries pop up. And it worked out perfectly for Judge and the Yankees. You got to keep him, and he's captain now. It all worked out beautifully. But I understand how that situation didn't work out. But you have a chance to, there's a couple guys who are options to lock up here.
You believe in Volpe. You believe he's Mr. Yankee. You believe in him so much that you gave him the keys to shortstop, a very storied position. Shortstop center field in Yankee, you know, for Yankee lore is a very big spot. And you gave him the keys to shortstop in his rookie year.
Yeah, with hardly any AAA time and all of that.
Without you even making him think of the possibility of you sending him down, even through the midst of his struggles, and he came out the other end.
Looks good so far.
I think you...
It has to at least be talked about by the Yankees front office after this season, assuming this keeps... Obviously, these numbers won't keep up, but...
Yeah. If you do it, Biebs, not only money-wise, long-term, you save, but it sends a great message throughout the organizational minor leagues that, hey, you know what? If you come up, you perform, you make the right changes, you follow what we consider our Volpe model or our Yankee model, you will get rewarded, and we'll give you that extension.
For a long time, it was like Yankees prospects don't. They're playing for every other team because the Yankees will trade you. Very rare you get like real chances as a top Yankee prospect. That's changed a little bit. I know just the Yankees haven't done a lot of these extensions, and it sucks for the guys that the two they did didn't really work out.
Yeah.
The Hicks and Severino.
They did Cano,
extensions.
Though. They did Cano's extension.
They extended Cano. That's true. And that one mostly did work out. Obviously, at the end, Cano eventually left, but... since him, the only ones they had done were Hicks and Seve, and those fell apart more or less immediately within weeks. It's unfortunate that team that was averse to it before broke their mold, did two of them, and they kind of instantly regretted it. So I think organizationally they're a little gun shy on it, and I think they would say they value.
I just still don't understand why did you do it with Hicks? He had like an injury history still, and it was
nobody was like, and I'm happy he got his money. I wasn't even mad at it at the time, but it was like, it was a common thought. Like you didn't like have to do this.
I'm glad you did.
That's fine, but
the Seve one wasn't bad. I don't think that's a bad.
No, and his contract did not hurt you
at all.
He got hurt. That happens. It's pitching.
I think
it's unfortunate that a team that doesn't typically do a ton of extensions did those two, and they immediately fell apart.
What are chances?
And now it feels like
Volpe's a different case.
Feels like until they actually do another one with Volpe or with if they believe in Clark after he's put together two real years, you can get him for locked in for cheap. I don't think he's on the list. Lawson Wells, if he finishes this year strong and you feel good about that, whoever it is. It sucks for them that might get held against them. The last two guys they did it to, it just didn't work. But
hopefully,
it has to be on the table if you're the Yankees front office to at least be talking about it. If the guys are open to it,
if he does complete this year as good as he's been, right? Then yes, kind of have to have that conversation.
Yeah. At this point, it's after this year, let's talk about it. But
yes.
Yeah. I'd love to have the conversation even more in depth about these extensions.
That'll be an off-season thing.
But yeah, I think until the off-season, this is just where we're at.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for joining us yet again this week. If you love this voicemail app, we're doing this on a weekly basis. I did see a comment last week and last week's, like, I love these, but only if they're consistent. I read your comment. I liked your comment, and I said they will be.
Yeah.
So
they easier will be to be consistent on this than the pregame show.
Yes.
It's like, sometimes they just, like, waited too long, or, like, this series, that series just doesn't work.
Pan out. Nights. It's a later series.
The teams screwed us not putting out the lineup.
Much better.
So this is much easier to stay organized.
Thank you for joining us for week two of voicemails from me, Biebs, and the Grappler's Corner. Shout out to you.
Yep.
Listen to all of your voicemails before we do. Leave us a voicemail, 908-845-5792. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See ya.
Love ya.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.